It's a resurrection story. It's His story, and it's our story. All of us who find our life, our hope, our future in Him. Now I'm going to tell a story here to start off this message. Hang with me, and you'll see how it wraps up. In the days when Stalin was gaining complete domination in his part of the world, the ruthless and paranoid tyrant sent one of his important supporters to Kiev in the Ukraine. The people of Kiev were to be brought into line. Therefore, faith in God through the Lord Jesus had to be eliminated. The eloquent Nikolai Bukharin berated the crowd for more than an hour, jeering, sneering, and threatening with outright lies, half-truths, false arguments, appeals to self-interest. He exalted the atheistic state and prophesied the death of faith. He assured them that the churches would be closed, that their leaders would be hounded, that the gatherings obliterated, that the Bible outlawed, and unbelief would live and flourish while faith lay lifeless in the streets. Bukharin's tirade ended, and the thousands in attendance remained silent. That is until one single believer humbly approached the podium, and he calmly but clearly announced to the massive crowd in attendance, "Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen," he said. And the whole crowd, like one voice, like a tsunami thundering together, replied and said, "He is risen indeed." So I want to declare this morning, as that single believer declared in that very hostile environment, that the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. He's alive. He's alive. See, Jesus is our resurrected King. He's our resurrected King. Now every Christmas we rejoice, and we should. We're in awe over the reality that the Son of God would step down from His amazing place at the right hand of the Father, that He would put on flesh, that He would become a man and walk among us. We celebrate that on Christmas. And then a few months later, we encounter Good Friday, where we humbly gather and remember that Jesus would die on a cross for our sins and take the punishment that we deserve. But then we come to this day, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And on this day, we celebrate with great joy and thankfulness. We celebrate the pinnacle, the most amazing, highest point of the ministry of Jesus, His resurrection. We celebrate the fact that death was defeated, that the grave was robbed and couldn't hold Him, and that Jesus became, once and forever, the resurrected King. Jesus is our resurrected King. So this morning, we're celebrating not only that Jesus came to this earth, became a man, not only that He died for our sins, but we are gathering this morning with great joy and excitement because Jesus rose from the grave. He is our resurrected King. Amen? Let's just thank Him for that. Let's declare it. Let's recognize it now. Jesus is our resurrected King. What does it mean to be resurrected? To resurrect, I looked it up, you know, Google it, and you can look it up, and you find all these different dictionaries that are out there. And here's what they say. To resurrect means to bring back to life, to cause something that had ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again. To resurrect, it's the act of rising from the dead. But we also understand that resurrection is so much more than that. Resurrection is also a victory. On Friday, you see, Jesus was placed in the grave and He was dead. Death thought that it had won. Now, I love to watch basketball. And so I watched some games. And there were teams playing yesterday in the March Madness. And there were some upsets once again. That's why they call it March Madness. And there were teams that won. And there were teams that lost. And some of the teams that were predicted to win, the number ranked, one ranked teams, lost. And somebody else won. You see, on Good Friday, death thought, I've got this locked up. I have won. The game is over. But something happened. You see, Sunday came. And by Sunday, death had been defeated. Jesus was no longer dead, but fully alive. You see, our God robbed the grave. He secured the biggest victory of all time because Jesus is our resurrected King. So this Easter, I'm going to cover three different points that I feel the Lord wanting to remind us of on this Resurrection Sunday. And I want to begin with this foundational truth. Truth number one, Jesus was resurrected. Let me say that again. We'll say it loud because I want this truth to ring out. Jesus was resurrected. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. What was going on? Well, check this out. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment right there. Don't keep reading ahead here about his appearance and everything. Here's the picture I get. So heaven opens, an angel come down, not just this little cherub, woo, on little wings, you know, a little chubby thing with wings. No, no. I'm talking about a mighty angel of the Lord, large and in charge with the power of heaven at his hands, his fingertips, and he's coming down from heaven. And he rolls away the stone that was in front of the grave that was holding Jesus. He rolls it away and he sits on it. And I can just see him. He's grinning. He's smiling. He's waiting for people to come. He's just saying, look out. You're about ready to be blown away here, man. You gotta check this out. So there he is. He's come down from heaven. He's rolled away the stone. He's sitting on it with great excitement. I'm telling you. And what did he look like? His appearance was like lightning. This angel. Lightning. And his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. No kidding. They passed out. They were literally, whoa. But the angel said to the women, Mary and Mary, he said, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he said, but check this out, ladies. It's going to blow your mind. He is not here. He isn't here. Check it out. I rolled the stone away. You got, look. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. The tomb is empty. Jesus is our resurrected King. Hallelujah. The grave couldn't hold Jesus. Death. Huh. Death didn't win. Jesus is risen. The grave is empty. Sometimes, man, you got to remember that. We all got to remember that Jesus is alive. That death did not win. And that all the powers and principalities that are attached to death, they did not win. They lost. And sometimes we just need to remember this passage of Scripture and we need to go back and we need to see it in the reality of what took place. And we need to remember that whatever it is that's going on in our life that we think is dead, that we think is never going to happen, we need to remember that the stone has been rolled away, that there is an angel sitting on it and he's smiling. And he's saying, no, you got to remember something. He's not there anymore. Death lost. Jesus won. He's resurrected. He's resurrected. Then Jesus appears to his disciples in his resurrected body. I mean, talk about messing with people's minds, right? So this is what happens. We find it in Luke 24. And he goes up to his disciples and he starts communicating and talking with them. And Jesus said to them, he said, why are you troubled? And I'm reading that going, well, come on, Jesus. Why do you think they're troubled? You were dead. And now you're alive, standing in front of them, talking with them. And then Jesus, understanding what they're thinking, because he is God, right? He's like, why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see that a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. You see, Jesus is the resurrected King. He is alive in the flesh. He is alive, no longer in the grave, walking alive forevermore. And because Jesus is the resurrected King, here's the part that keeps getting better and better and that we got to grab hold of and live out of every moment of every day. Because Jesus is the resurrected King, all who place their faith, all who place their hope, their lives, their future in Jesus are being resurrected. That's the second point that I want to make sure we're grabbing here this morning. That is that we are being resurrected. Jesus was resurrected, but we, those of us in Christ, are being resurrected. In other words, the resurrected King is resurrecting us. He's resurrecting us. God's good. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone, and I'm going to stop there, I bolded it in my notes here, because I want to make sure we understand what God is saying here. If anyone, how many of you are anyone? How many of you can be anyone? Is anyone everyone really? If anyone, anyone, anyone. Okay, do we get that? If anyone, God loves everyone. He came for everyone. He gave his life for everyone, right? If anyone is in Christ, if anyone says, Jesus, you are Lord, I'm not. Jesus, I give you my hopes, my dreams, my future. I surrender all to you. I come to you. I'm tired of being Lord of my life. I messed it all up. I keep messing it all up, and I will keep messing it all up. I need you. Save me. Rescue me. I want to be in you now and forever. Okay. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, meaning he's resurrected. That's what it means to be new. A new creation means to be resurrected. Not the old anymore, not the dead anymore, but alive. He's resurrected. He's a new creation. And it says that the old has gone. And now look at this phrase. The new has come. For anyone who is in Christ, the new has come. Now, I looked at that statement because literally as I'm reading it and studying this week, the Holy Spirit said, Eric, check it out. There's more that you got to see in that statement. So I looked it up, and in the original Greek, that passage, that statement, the new has come is in the perfect active voice in the original Greek. Okay, what does that mean? Well, you got to look it up. I looked it up, all right? Okay, and here's what the perfect voice means. Something being in the perfect voice means that whatever that statement is, that it's completed. It's a completed action that occurred in the past, which produced a state of being that exists in the present. You hear that? And also because that statement is in the active voice, it means and it signifies that the subject is continuing to perform the action. So let's go back to that statement that the new has come. So here's the deal. We have been made new. If you are in Christ and you give your life to Jesus, at that moment, you have been made new. It is a state of being that continues from that point on. But there's more to it. You are also being made new, continuing to be made new from glory to glory, day by day, God making all things new. Oh, it's exciting. I need that. I need to be made new, and I need to continue to be being made new. So the resurrected King is truly resurrecting you and me. Jesus is making alive all everyone, anyone and everyone who placed their faith, their hope in Him. Jesus has given new life, and He is giving, has given and is giving new life to all who call upon His name. But what does this mean? Let's check it out. It means that if we are in Christ, that we're no longer spiritually dead. No longer spiritually dead. Rather, we are now spiritually alive. How many of you would rather be alive than dead? I hope every hand goes up in here. Come on now. Okay? It says this in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, and I thank Him that He's rich in mercy. I need His mercy. His, every single day I need to walk in His mercy. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. In other words, He resurrected us with Christ. Even when we were dead, still dead, dirty, rotten scoundrels back in the day when we didn't have squat to give God. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive. It is by grace you have been saved. You see, the resurrected King is truly resurrecting us. He's doing it because He loves us. He's doing it by His power. He's doing it because He is full of mercy and grace. He's resurrecting us. And being spiritually alive in Christ changes everything. I was drawn to this passage in Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. Again, being spiritually alive in Christ changes everything. Check this out. When you were dead in your sins, I've been there. Dead in my sins. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. God did it. Made you alive with Christ. He spiritually resurrected you, in other words. And it continues. It says, He forgave us all our sins, canceling the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, Christ has disarmed those powers and authorities that are messing with you, that are pulling you into those places you want to go. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them. That's the cross and the resurrection. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus is the resurrected King, and He's applying the power of the resurrection, His grace, His mercy, and love to us, and He's resurrecting us, making us alive in Him. And when He does that, everything changes. And I want to talk about some of the change that happens when we allow the resurrected King to truly resurrect us. Guilt, for instance, is gone when we embrace the resurrection of Jesus and His resurrecting power in us. Guilt disappears. It's gone because we are forgiven. We just read about it in Colossians 2. We are forgiven, and we can walk now in forgiveness, not in the weight and heaviness of guilt. No, He relieves us of that. He takes it away. Sin doesn't control us any longer. Why? Because we are no longer slaves to sin. It says in Romans 6:6, no longer slaves to sin, because the resurrected King is resurrecting us. And it says in John 8:36, who the Son sets free is really free. It's free indeed. That's the reality, the result of the resurrection of Jesus and us receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior and allowing Him to do His work in us. And through us, everything changes. Hopelessness, despair, and fear are evaporating in our lives. Why? Because we are being filled with hope, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And Romans 15:13 talks about that, us being filled with hope, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. God Himself filling us with those things. So despair and hopelessness, no, you don't have any more control of my life. You do not define me. You're not my friend. You are gone. I've been resurrected. You are the old. I walk now in the new that I have in Christ Jesus. Weakness. Limitations. You know, the enemy telling you, you can't do that. You're never going to be used by God. Remember the things you did? How's God going to use you? Limitations. You're feeling that you don't have anything to give. That your prayers won't matter. No. Those things start to disappear and fall away. Why? Because we understand that the same power that resurrected Jesus, the same power that conquered death, is now alive in us, all who are in Christ Jesus. That same power is at work and moving in and through our lives, it says in Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. Emptiness no longer is our reality because God fills us. Check out that passage on the screen. Somebody needs to be reminded of that or come alive in that this morning. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? In other words, you are a house for the Holy Spirit, God Himself. You who are in you, God is in you, whom you've received from God, the Holy Spirit. So what is that saying? We're no longer empty. Emptiness is something of the past because now in Christ Jesus, God actually comes and lives in us. We're not empty anymore. We are filled now and being filled and being refilled by the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, who is moving in us and through us and working in us. What a joy. Why? Because the resurrected King is resurrecting us. He's making all things new. He doesn't leave us the same when we come to Him. Everything changes. Everything comes to life. Now, it's a process. We talked about that. It's a done deal. And it's a process that continues all the days of our lives. So loneliness and insignificance are gone. Because we're no longer far from God. No longer far from God. It says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Allow the resurrected King to resurrect you in that reality. That God has brought you near to Him through Christ Jesus. You're not on an island. You're not alone. The enemy loves to make us feel like we're alone and insignificant. No. You are loved by your Creator. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the cross and the resurrection, He has brought you near to Him. He's drawn you into Him. When I see my kids, when Jake comes home from college and walks through that door, what do I do? Do I stand on the other side of the room and say, what's up, son? Dude, I walk over to him and I grab him and I bring him near to me and I embrace him. That's what God has done to you. Because the resurrected King is resurrecting you. He's doing it. God loves you. We're no longer living less than lives because the resurrected King is resurrecting us. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. Have it to the full. We've been resurrected. We are being resurrected. And we have all we need now in Christ Jesus to live as those who've been resurrected. I love what it says in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power, what is that? It's the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, the same power that raised Him from the dead. His divine power, God's power has given us, everything we need for life and godliness. He's resurrected us, given us all we need, the very power of God, the resurrecting power of God. He's given it to us through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The resurrected King is resurrecting us. He's working in and through your life. The victory of the resurrection is being made real in our lives right now. The power of God is moving and making all things new. As we embrace the reality that Jesus, who conquered death and sin, is working in us and through us. Now, the final point I want to make this Easter is going to open up our eyes to eternity. Now, last week, as we were concluding our series and our teaching through 2 Timothy, We were reminded that to run the race successfully and to finish and to be one of those winners that Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that we need to have an eternal perspective. And so I want us to continue to have that eternal perspective as we're looking at the resurrection, because the resurrection is filled with eternal perspective. You see, Jesus was resurrected. We are being resurrected. And the third amazing point is that we will be resurrected. We will be resurrected. Our physical bodies. So what are we talking about here? Our physical bodies will be resurrected. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. But Christ has indeed, in other words, this is for real, guys. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits, that means there are more fruits to come, right? He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And that man, his name is Christ Jesus. See, Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and his physical resurrection guarantees our physical resurrection. That's mind-blowing. That's unbelievable. Sometimes we forget about that reality, and we just go through life and let the things of life come on us and mess with us, and we don't remember in the midst of all the chaos and things happening that Jesus, the resurrected King, is actually going to make all things new. We talked about that a few weeks ago from Revelation 21, how he makes all things new, including our physical bodies, resurrecting them. So all of us who are in Christ have been resurrected, meaning we have new life. It is an accomplished thing. And we are being resurrected, meaning we are being made new. And the other truth is we will be resurrected. It has been done. It is being done. And it will be done. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:14, by His power, God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And He will, not maybe, not if you do this or that, whatever. No. He will raise us also. You see, this is a promise. This is a reality of what He is going to do, what He will do for all who are in His Son, Christ Jesus. Yes, our physical bodies will be resurrected. Yes, we will spend eternity in these physical, new, resurrected bodies. Because here's the reality of what we have to look forward to. And I know it starts to get like, wow. This is, I'm just dealing with dirty diapers right now. I'm trying to keep my job. I've got homework to do. I've got a lawn to mow. I've got the pressures of life coming at me. And you want me to think about this? Yeah, I want you to think about this. Because it's when we think about God's plans for our lives that the things of this earth grow strangely dim and they no longer control us. But the reality of who God is and who we are in Him begins to be what drives us, begins to be what encourages us and directs our lives. And so we look to God's plans, His future, His vision, His dreams for our life. So, and here's the reality. Our bodies are going to be made new. And we're going to live in those physical bodies with Jesus, who is in His physical resurrected body right now. But Jesus in His physical resurrected body right now, the man Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father in heaven, is going to step down from heaven. For there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven. And Jesus in His physical resurrected body will step on this earth, and He will dwell with mankind, with you, with me, as we too are living now in our physical resurrected bodies. That's the future. That's marvelous. It's unbelievable. But we just sang about the unstoppable, impossible God. The same one who resurrected Jesus, emptied that tomb, is going to resurrect our physical bodies, all things being made new. So this is about eternity. Look, we were created by God to live with God. I hope you know that. The enemy tries to do everything he can do to try to prevent that from happening. But you were created by God, your creator, to live with him and to enjoy him now and forever. We were created to live with God, to enjoy him. That's God's heart, his desire for you, is to enjoy him. And we were created also to live in physical bodies. You see, in Genesis 1, we read that God created mankind in his image. And God said, this is very good. And when he created mankind, he created us in physical bodies. He created us body and soul, body and spirit, both and. He created us. And therefore, our ultimate perfection, that ultimate state of being, where God plans and desires for us to be for all eternity, demands that both body and soul be renewed, completely renewed. And so, those of us in Christ, our soul, our spirit has been and is being renewed, resurrected. But our bodies are also going to be resurrected, and we will spend eternity in that condition that God originally created us to be in with him. But what's that going to look like? You know, we have all kinds of theories and ideas of what eternity is going to look like and how's this all going to happen and everything. I just want to go back to Jesus again and get a picture of what it looks like to live in a resurrected body. Now, we know this. Jesus' resurrected body was not a whole new body. But his body was the very same body, but check this out, in a glorified state. Very important. It was his body, but it had been resurrected, and therefore God had placed it now in a glorified state. The wounds from his crucifixion were actually still visible. It says that in John 20, verse 27. His wounds were still there. In fact, I believe it was Keith Wheeler on Friday night talked about the only man-made thing in heaven right now are the wounds in the hands and feet of Jesus. We read about it earlier when Jesus went in his resurrected body and began to talk and laugh and eat and do life with his disciples. He still had the holes in his hands and in his feet, even in his resurrected, glorified body. In his resurrected body, you could touch and handle Jesus. He wasn't simply a spirit or an apparition. Jesus looked human in every regard. Talking, eating, laughing with his friends. Yet his body also had these otherworldly characteristics because it had been resurrected, glorified by his heavenly Father. He could now pass through solid walls. Some of the kids might want to read about that in John 20. He could like walk through walls. You know, I dream about that stuff. I still dream about flying. I don't know. I dream about it. I dream about flying. I also dream about being able to swim underwater forever and never have to take a breath. And like I can almost breathe underwater like a fish. I know it's crazy. But you know what? I'm going to end up being resurrected. And I'm going to have a glorified body. Praise God. Jesus is walking through walls and walked through walls in his glorified, resurrected body. That's what it looked like. He could suddenly appear out of nowhere. And that should scare some of you kids. Sorry, I just had to do that. Appear out of nowhere, Luke 24. And he could ascend directly into heaven from earth and go directly into heaven, passing through the atmosphere without being burned up. Jesus in his resurrected, glorified body. It's the same, but all new, all things made new. Wow, it's God at work in his life, the first fruits of the resurrection in us, then getting to partake in the resurrection of our bodies and eternity with Jesus. Now, this is some serious upgrade. I know you all look forward to it as much as I do. It's going to be glorious. This is our future. This is God's plan for us. Our bodies will be resurrected. I want to conclude with these 3 points once again. You see, Jesus was resurrected. And because Jesus was resurrected, we now are being resurrected. We're in Christ. We have been resurrected, justified. We are being resurrected, sanctified in him. But the reality still remains. On that day when Jesus appears, we will be resurrected. It will be completed. Our physical bodies will be resurrected. made new and glorified just as Jesus' was. Genuinely human, yet otherworldly and all new. 2 Corinthians 5:1 calls the resurrection body a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Wow. This is God's plan for your life. This is what He has in store for you. This is what He wants for you. If anyone, and we all raised our hands and say, we are someone, we are anyone. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, this is your reality. I just want to ask you to bow your heads and just focus on the Lord right now. I want to say that there may be those in the room right now who are probably even wondering, maybe even now, why am I here? I've never been here before. I came to church, though, this morning here. Or maybe I haven't been to church in a long time, but for some reason I've walked back into a church. And I want to say to you that you're not here by accident. You are here because God loves you. Because He's drawing you to Him, just as I go to my son when he comes home and draw him to me. Your Heavenly Father, your Creator, is drawing you to Himself because He loves you. And He wants you to experience this resurrected life now and forever. This is for you. And you can receive this and have this through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to be in Christ today and forever. I want to invite you to surrender and say, and tell the Lord just that you're tired of being your own God and that you're going to look to Him now, that you're surrendering. I want to invite you to take that first step into that resurrected life, into eternity with Jesus, into new life. If you want to do that, if you want to pray that prayer, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been away from God for a while and you're ready to come back into His family and walk in this resurrected life, I want to invite you to pray this. You can repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for my past. Forgive me for my sins. Jesus, You are the Son of God. Jesus, You are the resurrected King. Resurrect me this morning. I need You to resurrect me this morning. Please make all things new. For today I declare that You are my Lord, that You are my Savior, that You are my hope, and that from today on, You are my present and my future. I give my life to You. I am in You, Christ, and You alone. In Your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you said that and you meant it from the heart, then you have just stepped into a new reality. You've taken that first step into a new reality, a new eternity that is found in Christ Jesus. But with our eyes still closed, I just want to ask you who have prayed that, who have asked Jesus into your life, who have come into the family of God for the first time or are returning, just to raise your hand as a demonstration to the Lord, to just say, yes, I said it and I mean it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the hands. Thank You for the lives, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You for resurrecting us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. His mercies are new every morning. He is good. Amen.